All right, welcome back. I'm having fun. I hope you are as well. We've talked about comparing Windows Phone and Windows 8, and we sort of have lightly touched on some of the things you can do to reuse your code. Now we're going to dive into MVVM, which is a pattern. And so that's sort of the first step in building your app in such a way that you can maximize your code reuse. There are other things that we'll talk about later, but the first step, I think, is to separate out the various concerns among your app. Let's talk about that in a couple of secs. First things first, I did want to give another shout out to my colleagues that have been kind enough to help me on this event. I think Jaime and Nisha are still online and answering all those great questions that you guys are asking. Please continue to ask the questions. Jaime and Nisha will continue to answer them. Twitter handles are up on the screen there, so hopefully if you have questions for them after the fact, please follow them on Twitter. I know they like to see those you've been followed messages. And also, I'm thinking Drew mentioned he might join as well, so hopefully you might see him answering questions as well. One other thing, I'm actually going to switch demo code this time. I'm going to use something called Photo Manager or Pix Presenter. And that's, if you want to get to that, if you want to follow along, I've actually bundled up all the resources for this course into one Bitly bundle. So you can get to that with bit.ly/build for both. You can see that in the bottom right-hand corner, capital B, capital F, capital B again. And that will allow you to get to all of the various resources related to this event. Okay, so what are we going to talk about? So the first thing is, clearly, MVVM is something that many developers are using now, both on Windows Phone and Windows 8, and before that on Silverlight and WPF and so on. The whole idea of binding sort of brought that about, I think. There's no way we could go deep on MVVM. We would probably take a full day course to walk you through all of the various capabilities of MVVM. What I did want to do is sort of give you a feel for it. And so we'll give you an introduction to MVVM, talk about the architecture and what it means and how it works. We'll talk about some of the pros and cons. And then we'll talk about once you are in MVVM, what are some of the things that you can do to share code, share your M and VM, not the V part, but the M and VM part of the MVVM between projects within a particular solution, between platforms, in this case, between Windows 8 and Windows Phone 8. We'll talk about some of the best practices. And we'll also touch on there are many third-party libraries that are available that help you with all sorts of additional tooling for MVVM. They're not strictly required, but they can be quite useful. And there are some, there's one in particular that many people are using. And so we'll talk about that towards the end. So let's start with a quick introduction to MVVM. As the name implies, and as I've said before, it's a software architectural pattern. Like many patterns, it's basically there to promote code reuse and separating your concerns, in this case, your data from your business logic, from your data or view logic or your views. The MVVM app is divided into three main parts, as the name implies: the model, which stores and maintains the program data; the view, which presents the data. It's all about the UI and receives any user input and then manages what to do with that. And then the view model, that is the interface that binds the data to the views, and so it's that it's kind of important. Everything is very loosely coupled. You may find, or you may be tempted to couple views with data models, or one view to another, one view model to another view model. I would say resist that temptation and try and keep everything as loosely coupled as possible. You will find that that will make your code much more maintainable, and it will also make your code more testable, and you'll stay away from the spaghetti code. Okay, so just as a quick, again, this is a oversimplified architecture diagram, but I think we'll give you a pretty good idea of how MVVM works. At the bottom there is the model, or the data model. And that is, again, what manages your data. And typically, your view models would be using the data model to retrieve data, and then would use data binding to send that data into your view. The view itself might use commands to let the view model know that the end user has requested some sort of manipulation of data or something along those lines, or has triggered some event. And then there are also events and messages that you may use along the way. We'll talk about some of those later. You may sometimes, in this case, you can see that there's a one-to-one correspondence between views and view models. That is often the case, but does not necessarily have to be the case. And you may often find that there are more than one view model on a screen, or on a view, rather. And in that case, you may want to communicate between view models. And the way you would do that is using messages and callbacks, that sort of thing. So we'll talk a little bit about that later on. So the pros and cons, not every app needs to use MVVM. There are, if you're building a very simple throwaway app, then probably you don't need to use MVVM. If, on the other hand, you are using, if you have any sort of reasonable complexity to your app, you will find that MVVM will make your job easier. In particular, and the stuff we're talking about today is about code reuse across platforms, MVVM does make that a lot easier. Because you are actually moving some of that code into an area where you can then modularize it and then split it across files and so on, and then share it across different platform projects and so on, MVVM does make your code reusable. In particular, your model and your view model are reusable across platforms. The code has a very clearly defined structure because of the way it's implemented and because of this certain interfaces that you have to implement. And it's also easier to test a view model using unit tests. It's actually quite difficult to test a view. And as a result, it's also more maintainable. The other thing you can do with a view model is that you can actually implement design time data. We'll see how that works in a couple of minutes. Some of the cons, there is a lot of cut and paste and boilerplate code. So that's just something you get used to. Or in some cases, you will use some of the third-party libraries that try and minimize that boilerplate code. It may be more powerful than is necessary. If you're building an app that is very simple, that doesn't do very much, doesn't have a lot of data, it's a throwaway app, then you know don't bother going to the full implementation of MVVM. It's probably not necessary. Also, by having this strong this decoupling of concerns, you sometimes lose, or you will lose, strong type checking in some cases, and so you will have to deal with that in your code. So once you have implemented MVVM, what do you do with it? How do you share code using MVVM? We're going to talk about some of the details around that. We'll look at portable class libraries. We'll look at also some of the best practices of when using MVVM. We'll include an overview of each of the parts of MVVM. And then we'll talk about data binding, commands, and messages. So the first part is the model. The model, or sometimes called the data model, is where you persist your data. That's where your data is saved in your database, or in local storage. It can be a database, it can be local storage, it can be a settings, any sort of persistence mechanism. And that's what is responsible for your CRUD, your create, retrieve, update, and delete operations on that data. The model should know nothing about the view or the view model. It really should be completely independent, should only handle the data, and by keeping it separate, it will make it much more maintainable and much more usable as a result. It's usually the most portable part of your application. Because you're using code that is very portable, storage, data storage, SQL storage, that sort of thing, it tends to make the data much more portable. Keep in mind, though, that Windows Phone 8 does support a local SQL Server implementation, SQL Server CE. Windows 8 does not have that. On the other hand, if you do need a SQL database, Windows 8 is supported by SQLite, and so you can grab those SQLite libraries, and they're readily available. A quick Bing search, and you'll find those quite easily. Okay, so let's look at an implementation of a model here. Here we have a public class, a common data item. We're defining a data item, and then the getter and setter, and then the automatically generated sample is already there. You can take advantage of this when you're looking at some of the Windows 8 templates. For instance, there, if you look in data model slash backslash sample data source, you'll see some good sample code that you can reuse here. So here's the get item, the data service that is implementing iData service, and the get item that where you're actually retrieving the data, and so on. So again, I'm not going to go into a lot of detail here, but you can have a look in data model slash sample data source to see how all of those are implemented, get and all of the others. Diving in the view, we already talked about this earlier. View is what presents the user with the interface. That's the UI, and it's what the user uses to manipulate that data. An app can have many views. Typically, a view is bound to a view model. Sometimes it's bound to multiple view models, and that's okay. And basically, in MVVM, the view does not handle the user actions. What you're trying to do is move all of those user actions into your view model so that you can test on those actions and so that you can maintain them. It's easier, makes them more portable. I think I've said that more than once today. The view model itself, or the presentation model, is responsible for presenting data or getting the data to the view. It's what the view binds to, and so it's how the data gets to the view. The data binding does most of the work for you, so we talked about that in the last session, and it's where you implement your business logic. It's completely decoupled from the view. Your view should never be calling directly into your view model and vice versa. Developers working on the view model while designers work on the view, and that's why design time data on your view model and your view can be quite handy, especially for your designers. Again, an app can have many view models. Usually, it's a one-to-one correspondence between views, not required, but usually. And a view model is linked to a view by sending the data context. It's really as simple as that. And so here we see an implementation of the main view model deriving from view model base. And it's setting the data source. There's your title property. And then you have your getter and setter. And you might have a constructor as well. And then this is where you would implement all of that. I'm going to jump ahead here. So as I mentioned, I'm actually switching to a different demo. In the past few sessions, we've been using the cookbook sample. In this session, we're going to use the Photo Manager or Pix Presenter that's readily available. It's in that resource bit.ly link that I showed you earlier. And I have this sort of architecture diagram of how it's implemented, and we'll see this in a few seconds when we look at the actual solution. But we have one solution that implements multiple projects. There's photomanager.win8 and photomanager.wp8, and those are actually the apps that are implemented. Obviously, Win8 is the Windows 8 one, and WP8 is the Windows Phone 8 one. And then those actually also have are referencing photomanager.core.win8 and photomanager.wp8, and then those are referencing shared, which is shared across all of those. So as much as possible, you want to share as much of the code as possible, and then there are certain things that are platform specific, and then of course you have the actual app themselves. And so it's a really good implementation of MVVM, so I thought it would be a really good one to use to show you. So let's actually dive in. I'm going to switch over to Visual Studio. And this time, as I said, I'm going to bring up Photo Manager. And so here you can see I have Photo Manager, which is, if I drill into that, I have photomanager.win8 and photomanager.wp8. Then I have Photo Manager Core, which has Photo Manager Core.win8, Core Photo Manager .wp8, and then we'll ignore SQLite for now, but you'll see that Photo Manager Shared has a bunch of files that are shared across both implementations because, for whatever reason, that code is shareable. And so let's start at the view layer and then work our way down from the view to the view model to the data model. And so let me go to Photo Manager. So I've brought that up. I'm going to go to Album. Here's my Album page. This is my XAML. And so you can see here, and obviously this is the Win8 XAML, as obviously is pretty evident from the file itself. And you'll see here that I'm setting my context. My data context is actually binding to something. It's binding to Album, and the source for my data context is actually something called a static resource called Locator. And so if we look at, let me find app.xaml, and you'll see app.xaml, there's my static resource. These are my application resources. My static resources is using something called ViewModelLocator. And so if I find ViewModelLocator, there it is. You'll see, if I come up at the top, you'll see ViewModelLocator is actually a partial class that's implementing a view model locator, and it does mean that your code is separated, but it does also mean that I can actually have a view model locator for Windows 8 and a view model locator for Windows Phone 8. And so if we look at the view model locator for Windows 8, and you see that that is doing some additional is adding some additional view models. And so here, when we bound to Album, by binding to Album, that means I was able to find the WinAlbum page view model. And by doing that, I'm actually creating my WinAlbum page view model. And so the next step then would be to actually look at WinAlbum page view model. Now, that's my view model. So let's go and bring that up. WinAlbum page view model. And so a couple of things going on here. My page view model, here it is implementing Album page view model. And we can go and look at that as well. But it also gives me some additional things. So it's giving me it's creating some design time data, which is useful. And you saw that when I was looking at my Album page. You can actually see in the bottom left-hand corner here that my, even though my screen is in design time, just noticed it's got some typos there. Even though it's in design time, I'm actually seeing some data, and that would make it easier for my designer to actually make changes and get a better sense for how things would look with real data. And so let's actually look at what's going on here. You'll see that there are some methods that have been implemented. You can see I have a share picture method that has been implemented, and as you can imagine, that's using it's saving that picture somewhere where it can then be shared. Posting to Facebook, it's using the web authentication and using a Facebook helper class to actually log in to Facebook and actually post whatever it is we want to post, perhaps a photo or a status update to Facebook. And there's my save picture and load picture data that have all been implemented. So you'll see here that that's actually implemented. Let me actually go to my Album page view model, and that there actually has, I think you can see some virtual methods here. So navigate to selected picture there is a virtual model, a virtual method. Thank you. It always returns false, and so by returning false, I can actually tell whether the implementation has actually implemented and overridden that or not. And so if I go back to my Album page view model, to my Win Album page view model, you'll see that it is implemented and returns true, and that's how I know it's been implemented. So that's it's kind of handy. Now we have all of that defined. Now that data needs to come from somewhere, and so that data comes from my data class, and the data class is in something called data source. If I look at data source, let me go to the top here. you'll see the data source is, again, a partial class. By defining it as a partial class, I can have my datasource.cs, which can be shared across both Windows Phone and Windows 8. And then I would have a data source partial class that would be my Windows 8 data source that gives me some additional Windows 8 specific stuff, or my data source.Windows Phone 8, which would give me my platform specific Windows Phone 8 stuff. And as a result, it does make it easier for me to separate out the platform specific stuff and still share as much as possible. Now, of course, as you can imagine, because it's a partial class, that's defined across multiple files. In this case, it's two files. And so it does make it a little bit more difficult to navigate. Fortunately, Visual Studio does a pretty good job of helping me with that. So for instance, you'll notice that in the drop down here, you'll see some of the methods here are bolded and others are sort of grayed out. The grayed out ones are the ones that are in the other file that would be implemented. So if I click on them, it will actually take me, you'll notice it actually took me to datasource.win8.cs, and here's my load folders there. And so load folders is Windows 8 specific. For whatever reason, it's loading that specifically for Windows 8. And so as a result, that Windows 8 specific stuff is isolated into a Windows 8 specific file. And as a result, I can use the datasource.cs across both Windows 8 and Windows Phone. And then if I look, I don't have it up right now, but if I look, you would see that there is a datasource.wp8.cs, which would also be a partial class, but would only be used in the Windows Phone 8 project. Hopefully I'm making a little bit of sense. If not, please ask your questions. I know that Nisha and Jaime be more than happy to answer those. Okay, let's come back to our slides here. And continue on and talk about some of the things that are going on here. So we talked about data binding. Data binding is critical. It's the whole MVVM pattern is kind of based on that. And the binding is basically what links the view to the view model. We talked about some of these things, the advantages and so on. Very important stuff, so keep that in mind. Commanding, we also talked about in MVVM, the commands let the view tell the view model what's going on. The user's taken some sort of action, and so I want to do something as a result of that action as a result. But I move that code out of the view and into my view model. We've already talked about some of these commands, so I may actually skip this so that we can gain back some of the time. We didn't talk about messages, so let's continue on with messages. So messages are a way to send information between objects. In particular, you could send messages between two view models, for instance. And so, again, the scenario would be, let's say I had a view that had an order and order details on the same view. And so as the end user switches from order to order, I want to tell the order details view model that it also needs to bring up the details for whatever order the end user has selected, either by search or by browsing or what have you. And so I might use a message to send anytime the end user has changed order, I would send a message to the order details view model to do that. So there's a sender and receiver, or you might even describe them as a subscriber and a publisher. And it's basically really useful for communicating between view models. Often there's a callback for when the receiver is done handling a message, so you can take advantage of that. There are no built-in APIs for that, so it can get a little bit difficult to do that. On the other hand, there are many MVVM libraries out there that help you with that and give support for that. In particular, MVVM Lite, for instance, has a messenger object that you can take advantage of. Basically, messages are important, and so let's talk about how those are implemented. In this case, I'm just using the generic here. I'm implementing my base view model here and implementing the iMessager interface. And then I have a publish and subscribe and unsubscribe method. So basically, I'm publishing a message, and then any view model that may have subscribed to that message would then get that message by implementing that. This is obviously much easier when we use, in this case, we're using the MVVM Lite messaging API. And so it makes it a little bit easier to implement, a little bit easier to read the code. And so I urge you to go and have a look. It does make things a little bit easier. And so here I have a message recipient. I have a message type. And then I have some code at the bottom that's sort of managing all that. So if we look at the bottom here, in the bottom left-hand corner, I'm defining recipient. And that recipient I'm newing up a message recipient. Object or instance, and as a result, that public class, if you look up there, it's actually registering. You see that in the constructor for message recipient, it's registering for a message. Which message? Well, it's registering for my message, and that my message is defined in a different class over in the top right. And that class is a very simple one. It just has a string property called content with a getter and setter. Pretty straightforward stuff. But by registering that message, anytime that message gets sent, I would then execute this code in this registration API that I just did here. In this case, what I'm doing is I'm taking the content from the message and putting that into a message dialog and showing that on screen. So it's essentially a way, a roundabout way of doing my hello world. And so if you see down below, up above in the message recipient class, I've registered for a message. Down below, you see where perhaps in some other part of my code, I'm actually sending that message. And so messenger.default.send, my message. And so I'm putting that message on the message bus there, newing up my message, and I'm giving it some content. In this case, it's hello world. And so as soon as I do that, my message recipient, my underscore recipient instance, is going to get that and is going to show a message dialog with that content. And so basically bring that up on screen. Again, this is sort of a trivial example, but it's a really good illustration of how you can send a message to a view model, or how you can send a message from one part of your code to another part of your code without actually tightly coupling that code together. By doing it this way, you're keeping your code loosely coupled, and so it's much more reusable, much more maintainable, much more testable, and so on. All the good stuff. So once you've done that, once you've implemented MVVM, then you need to sort of package that up so that you can share it among the various platforms. And the way you would do that is using the Portable Class Library. And by sharing, essentially what that does is it limits your, it essentially defines a library, DLL, that limits itself to certain .NET APIs, a limited set. And the limited set, you define what that limited set is. I'll show you what that is in a few minutes. And by doing that, I'm defining my portable class library. It's managed code. Oh, I should mention portable class libraries are only available, unfortunately, in the non-express editions of Visual Studio 2012. So you would only be able to use it in a Visual Studio Standard or Pro and above. So some best practices for MVVM. These are kind of generic. So as you get into MVVM, you'll start adopting these to your own needs. Design your apps for cross-platform portability. So even if you are building an app today that would be only Windows Phone 8, keep in mind that at some point you may decide to make it a Windows 8 app. And if you design using MVVM today, it will make it much easier for you to port that app, or to at least extend that app, probably with very little effort, make that app also a Windows 8 app, in the same way that this Photo Manager app has separated itself out and made itself both Windows Phone and Windows 8 with a whole high degree of code reuse. Separate your concerns. So again, keep your concerns separate between data, view, and view model, and plan for upgrades by using MVVM or if you choose another loosely coupled architecture, MVC or what have you. MVVM just happens to be the one that most people are using, whether they're building Windows Phone or Windows Phone 8, Windows Phone 8 or Windows 8 applications. Data binding does eliminate a lot of the code and the code behind. It can't eliminate all of it, unfortunately, but some code behind is fine. You know, don't get too hung up on trying to remove all of your code behind. Sometimes it's just easier to do it that way. But try and use, wherever possible, use data binding and commands to replace as much of your code as possible. Avoid binding to large collection multiple times in the same XAML page, because you're going to get obviously some huge performance penalties for doing that. Using duplicate bindings to different pages, it's just going to hit you, and you're going to have issues with that. Keep in mind that binding does incur memory and CPU overhead, so be cognizant of that. Be careful that you're not binding too much data to a page, and try and limit yourself as much as possible. Large collections bound to list controls should be virtualized. So don't bind these large collections and have them all in memory at one time. Use the virtualizing stack panel in place of the stack panel, and by doing that, hopefully you'll be able to page your data in as required. You can narrow the scope of the data context within the XAML document. The example here is if you have a car object that exposes an engine object named car engine, then you can bind directly to mycar.carEngine and hopefully avoiding these long property paths where required. So just abstract that out in the way that you would need it. It's going to depend on your own scenarios. And so keep that in mind. As I mentioned, as you're building MVVM, there is no requirement when you build MVVM to actually use a third-party library. There is no MVVM implementation directly embedded within any of the Windows or Windows Phone templates. There's the beginning of some, but it's not a fully implemented MVVM. And so there are actually many third-party MVVM frameworks out there, many of them open source. And so this is a quick snapshot. In fact, it's not the whole snapshot. I only grabbed the top half. I just went to Wikipedia and I grabbed a screen grab of the top, I don't know, 15 or 20 MVVM open source frameworks. There's many of them available. Some of them may be more suited to what you're doing than others. Some of them may be more suited to larger projects, some of them lighter projects. The one that I've seen used quite often lately is called MVVM Lite. This was created by Galasoft, a Spark guy named Laurent Bugnon, based in Switzerland, working for IdentityMind. And he provides you a bunch of, it's open source, so you can just go grab it on codeplex.com at MVVMLite.codeplex.com. It's a library that includes Visual Studio templates. It supports a lightweight implementation of the MVVM pattern. It's suitable for medium to large projects. I know some people prefer not to use third-party. They just don't want to take the dependency. And so it's really up to you whether you decide to do that. Probably when you're getting started with MVVM, you may want to get started using a third-party library. And then over time, you may decide that that's not the way you want to do it. But certainly, give it a look. MVVM Lite, I'm not endorsing it. It's one that I know many people use, but it's not the only one out there. So please go and have a look at that. So quickly to recap, the MVVM model, as the name implies, model, view model. The model stores the persistent data. The view gives you your view and allows the end user to manipulate that data. And the view model presents the data to the view in response to user actions. MVVM, super, super useful in Windows Phone and Windows 8, and before that in Silverlight and WPF. It's been around for quite some time. And it does allow you to make it easier to build view models that are a little bit more structured, a little bit more maintainable, a little bit more modular. And it works across. There's a number of ways to share those MVVM objects, your models and your view models. We talked about portable class libraries. There are others. We're going to talk about those in the next session. Things like inheritance, partial classes, shared code files, conditional block, if pound if, conditional blocks, and so on. So we finished a little early. I thought we were going to go long, and so I went a little bit fast, and now I've actually finished a little early. So I think we're going to pause there, and I don't see any questions on the screen, but if you do have questions, please post them to the chat screen, and Nisha and Jaime will answer those, and we'll come back in 10 minutes or so with the final session, and there we're going to get into the nitty-gritty where we'll talk about some various different code sharing techniques and tips. So go grab another coffee and come back, and we'll be back in 10 minutes or so.